Today is Thanksgiving Sunday. Let me first start with an interesting remark. Probably all of you would like to live a life that is 100 marks. Somebody thought about the numbering the alphabet. A is 1, B is 2, 3, C is 3, so on and so forth. So Z is 26. I give thanks to the GCN TV workers. If you work hard, would you be happy? So hard work, it adds up to 98. If you have knowledge, it adds up to 96. Would you be happy if you love? So love is 54. Would you be happy if you have luck? So luck adds up to 47. Would you be happy if you have money? So money adds up to 72. So what could be 100 points? What is the secret of a happy life? So this, they found this word, attitude. Many people say it depends, your life depends on your attitude, how you make up your mind. So in other words, attitude in other words is what kind of view you have. So depending on your attitude and the view, perception of life, you can be either happy or not. Let me give you a story, allegory, story. There were two foot massage shops in Shanghai, in China. One shop was full of customers, while the other, right next to it, had few customers. Both shops were almost identical, and the masseuses there, they didn't have so much difference. So what was the difference? So the owner of the shop, they didn't have customers, went to the next shop and asked him. The facilitators are almost the same. Masseuses, they're all the same. How come you have so many customers? So the owner of the shop, who had a lot of customers, replied, probably there is a difference in the way we run the shop. I sometimes ask the employees, what do you do for a living? If they reply to me, I do foot massage. Then I would say, no, you don't do foot massage. You give blowing energy to people. The customers who come to our shop, they are tired. And by massaging their feet, you let them get energized. You blow into them new energy. So they make a happy life by receiving energy from you. So how exciting is this? They decorated this altar. And those who donated, those who, by doing this, they did it because it's glory to God and they can give joy to God and it's also joy to them. Maybe it looks like, people are motivated by money, but especially in this kind of a materialistic, world, but few people give their lives just for money. But some people, they give their lives for some kind of value. In case of, like in case of martyrs, some patriots. But because people are spiritual beings, human beings live for some kind of a purpose, not just for money. So now let us get into the background of Thanksgiving Sunday. First, as of the biblical background. After God brought out the sons of Israel through Moses, he commanded something. Exodus chapter 23, verse 16 says, "Also you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field." So we first had the Feast of Harvest. In Korea, we do it right after the first half of the year. And also it says also the Feast of the Ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. The Feast of Ingathering is to store all the crops, the harvest. And also it is called the Feast of Booths or Feast of Tabernacles. It's because it's called this way because sons of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years, and they grew the crops for the first year. So they gained the first harvest, and then they made booths, and they stayed there for a week and gave thanks to God. And they stored all the crops for the whole year. And they gave thanks to God. And let us get into the background of Thanksgiving Sunday. And most of you are well aware of this. It originated in North America from the Puritans or the saints or the pilgrims. So how did these Puritans go to North America from the United Kingdom? The Henry VIII remarried and divorced and remarried, which was prohibited by the Roman Catholic Church. So the Pope didn't allow it. So Henry VIII, he proclaimed independence from the Roman Catholic Church, and he made this Anglican Church, Church of England. And this Church of England, it's like a mixture of Roman Catholic and also the Reformed Church. So it's a kind of a mixture of these two churches. So there were some, in the eyes of the Protestants, the Anglican Church was not purely Protestant. So these Protestants, they were devout Christians, and they didn't want to follow the traditions of the old church, the Roman Catholic Church. So, for that reason, they were persecuted by the Church of England, and Charles I, Charles II, that succeeded Henry VIII, they persecuted the Protestants, these Puritans, and many of them, they were dispersed to other countries. And some of them went to America. As you know, on the ship Mayflower, 102 of them. And they departed, they embarked from Plymouth in England. But They had two ships, but one of them was leaking water. And so they went back, and after a month, they gave up on the ship that was leaking, and some of them moved to some of the people that were that was on the leaking ship. They moved to Mayflower. So anyway, only one ship, Mayflower, set sail. And these ships, they were not ships like today. They didn't have any engines, so it was they had to sail only by the wind. So for 63 days they sailed.
And
so finally they reached America, but they wanted to go to Virginia, but because of the northwest wind, they were pushed away by the wind, so they ended up landing in Massachusetts. And it was winter, and they were of a great faith, so they didn't land on Sunday, so they had a worship service on Sunday, and they set foot on the land the next day. So it was mid-November. But it wasn't happiness that was waiting for them, but so much suffering. So they had this extreme cold weather. And they spent the winter on board the ship. And they had this vitamin C deficiency. And due to various diseases, half of them died. And about two or three people were dying every day. And not all of the survivors were healthy. And yet, it looks like there were six or seven healthy men. So they took care of the people. So although many people died, they spent the winter together. And when spring came, they began to plow the land, sow the seeds. They learned how to farm from a Native American. Psalm 126:6 says, "He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." And when they were giving thanks, they gave thanks that they survived, and they were thankful that they had the freedom of religion, and they were thankful that they were going to be the first ones to live in the American continent. They give thanks for all the harvest. And when they had first harvest, they gave all thanks to God, and they prayed that they lost a lot of friends, but God gave us more than what we expected, and we give this first harvest before God with our thanksgiving. So they had this Thanksgiving ceremonies for 3 days. So it is said that first day they prayed to God and meditated on the Word of God. And second day they cooked a lot of food and enjoyed themselves together. And they also invited the chief and the 90 of the people from Wampanoag, and also the chief Massasoit. So 90 of them came together and shared some, they brought the deer and they shared the food together. So the Puritans, they gave thanks to God, and it is said that they built the church and the schools before they built their own houses. So probably God loved their attitude very much. But now this freedom of religion is maybe misused, and so they worship any kind of God. But anyway, now let us look into we have to give thanks in three aspects. Of course, we have the fundamental thanksgiving, that we are thankful for our salvation. We were moved from hell to heaven, and God gave us the duties. When we fulfill our duties, God gives us heavenly rewards. So because we have this kind of a fundamental thanksgiving for our salvation, and even though we might face hardships or difficulties in this world, we are thankful. We can't always have only good things. Because we are going through human cultivation, sometimes we face hardships. And yet God causes all things to work for the good of it, for good. So God is good, and He always wants us to give us good things, and we believe in this God, so we have this fundamental thanksgiving. So first, I hope we will give thanks for the grace and providence of God, looking back on the past. I love a writer called Corrie ten Boom. Preaching the gospel, spreading the gospel all over the world. And in one of the forewords of her book, she said she compared life with an embroidery frame. You make this, and if you look in the below of this frame, there are so many kinds of colors, and it is all mixed up, so you don't know what it is like. You don't know what it is actually representing. So if you look at the below, you don't understand what's going on with your life. But on the above, on the surface, God is actually creating everything good. He is making, He's drawing this big picture. But we don't see this big picture of God, but we just look at what is the threads below the frame. We just want to have only good things. But sometimes God uses bad things. We only want the bright colors, but God sometimes has to use the dark colors. But because of such dark colors, there are houses, trees, and everything good. So we shouldn't be looking at the backside of the embroidery frame, but we should be able to look at the surface. We think of a lot of things, but God is the origin of knowledge and origin of wisdom. He has the great plan. He is drawing this big picture. So we have to have faith in this God who is drawing a good big picture for us. So as we look back, maybe on this past year or perhaps our life, what if my prayer at that time was answered? Maybe I wouldn't have been what I am today. In my case, I have, I think in this way many times. I feel fortunate that God didn't answer my prayer at that time. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been what I am today. It's the same with Joseph in the Bible. God gave him the dream, the stars and sun and the moon bowing down before him, the sheaves bowing down before him. But his life was a continuum of sufferings. His brothers, they hated him so much and they tried to kill him, and yet, but finally, fortunately, he was sold into Egypt as a slave, and he was a slave. The captain of the guards, in the house of the captain of the guards. And he didn't complain against God, but he just believed in God, who was giving him only the good things, who was guiding him. And finally, he was acknowledged by his master, and he was put in charge of everything in his household. But the master's wife seduced him, and because to keep the word of God, he refused. And because of that refusal, he was put into jail. If you think in human perspective, how can God do that? But Joseph didn't complain at all. He believed there was God's will, and he didn't even know when he could get out of the jail. And finally, because he was faithful and intelligent, he was also again put in charge of all the things of the jail. And there was this cupbearer, chief cupbearer of the king, and also chief baker. And this one of them had very dark face. So Joseph asked him what happened. He had a dream, and both of them had dreams. And so he interpreted the dreams, and one of you will be hanged and the other will be reinstated. And he asked him to remember him. So more than 2 years passed. And Pharaoh finally had a dream, and the chief cupbearer finally remembered Joseph. And when Joseph was called in, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And he even gave the answers to prepare for this problem. So Pharaoh was so impressed, he put him, as he made him the prime minister of the whole land of Egypt. A Hebrew slave became the prime minister of the whole Egypt. And Joseph still had the doubt. He knew that being the prime minister was not the end game. He believed God had more plans for him. And when the 7 years of famine struck the land of Egypt, his brothers came to him, and finally he came to see the big picture of God. So he didn't just reveal himself to them, but he tested them in various ways so they could realize what their faults were. So finally, when they repented of their sins, Joseph revealed his identity, and he wept so much. And since that time, he began to see the clear picture of God as to why God put him in Egypt. So Genesis chapter 45, verse 5 says, Now do not be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. To save lives, not just the Egyptians, but also his own household, the sons of Israel. So Genesis chapter 50 verse 20 says, As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. So that was the will of God. Joseph believed in God, but he didn't know why God was refining him so harshly. But when the brothers came to him, he could understand, he could see the whole picture. So there are such moments in our lives too. Let me give you an example of this professor. He went to the United States to get a degree, and he failed the test, failed the exam to get the degree. And he went all the way to the United States. And probably he was so ashamed and he wanted to kill himself or something. But they suggested him, there's a new area of study. So you study one more year. And so he did study for one more year and he got the degree in the new area of studying. And right at that time, he came back to Korea and right at the time, one of the universities, they were recruiting professors in this area and in this field. So he was recruited by this university. What if he fell into despair when he failed the exam? He couldn't have had this job. But he believed there was a will for him, good will for him. And when he didn't fall into despair, God guided him in a way that he didn't expect. So looking back in the past year, we might be able to realize the grand plan of God. When you turned the embroidery frame and look at the surface, you will realize what this is about. And I hope you will be amazed by God's good plan for you. And secondly, whether it is good or bad, in any situation, we should give thanks. In all things, we should give thanks. According to Charles Spurgeon, he said, He who has starlight, if he thanks God for starlight and uses it, will get moonlight. And he who has moonlight and thanks God for it and uses it, will get sunlight. And he who has the sunlight shall yet come to that light, which is as of 7 days in the glorious presence of God. So we should give thanks in all things. And suppose perhaps you have heard this story. There were two people in the prison, and one of them, this is a long story short, one of them always looked at the stars and one of them always fell into despair. So being in the same prison, if you look at the ground, look at the walls and complain, or if you look at the stars and have hope, it can create completely different results. So in the beginning, I said the perception, the view, what kind of view we have can change our whole life. A man went back home after working hard late at night. He opened the door and the wife was sleeping. She was in deep sleep. And the husband, he was angry. I'm working so hard to provide for my wife and kids, and how can she just sleep all the time? So he was angry. So he talked about it with his wife the next morning. She said, I fall asleep early, and I didn't do it so often. It was just one or two times. And why do you have to get angry so much? So the husband didn't like it, and he was quite angry anyway. He went to work, and one of his colleagues, he had a dark face. So he asked him what happened. And his colleague replied, my wife is suffering from insomnia, and she's about to go to be put into a madhouse institution. If she can just sleep well, everything will be fine. So this man felt like his head was hit by a hammer or something. So he came back home and said to his wife, you can sleep well, you can just take care of the kids well, you manage the house very well, so you are sleeping well, and I don't know why I'm getting angry at you. I'm so thankful that you are sleeping well. So looking at the same wife who is sleeping well, according to what kind of perception, what kind of view you have, it can look so much different. There was a father who had a teenage daughter. He didn't like her at all. She wasn't studying hard. She wasn't good at anything. So he went to some kind of counseling. So he complained about his daughter. She doesn't do anything. She's not good at anything. I don't know what to do with her. And the counselor suggested that he write down 20 things that 20 good things about his daughter, 20 things to commend her about. And even though he tried hard, there was nothing. So he didn't want to go there any longer. A couple of days later, his friend came, so he complained to him too. And he asked about the counseling, so he said, because of this reason, I don't want to go anymore, any longer. So the friend replied to this man, don't you have anything to commend her for? Who runs the errands? My daughter? How comfortable, how good is it to have a teenage daughter who runs the errands? Who opens the door when you go home? My daughter? So, how lonely it is to go home and when you have to open the door by yourself? And the friend asked again, does she go to school? Well, and so he answered, yeah, she's not good at studying, but she goes every day. So there are so many. So you should be thankful that she goes to school very well. She asked, does she eat well? She's not picky, and she eats very well. And if they are picky, and if they just want hamburgers all the time, junk food all the time, then it's a problem. And he asked again, does she sleep well? She doesn't study at all in the evening, and she just sleeps. And the friend said, if they sleep late at night playing computer games, and if they can't get up in the morning, isn't that better than this? So the friend asked again, is your daughter healthy? So yes, she's healthy. So if she is not healthy, if she has to go to the hospital all the time, it's so hard. So there are so many things to commend her about, commend her for. So that's what the friend said. So he finally made up 20 things to commend her for, and the counselor said, when you come next time, before you come next time, come to me next time, please tell all these things to your daughter. And the father felt like he couldn't do it at all, because it's been a long time. He had the last conversation with her, and how can I say this, 20 reasons I love you? You know how, but he felt very uncomfortable, but anyway, he asked his daughter to come meet him after school at a certain place. The daughter was so surprised. And what kind of a thing would he talk about? So she couldn't focus on the classes. And with such a dark face, she went to the place and the father was waiting. And this awkward silence lasted for some time. And finally, the father took out the note and just listened to what I read. The 20 reasons I love you. One, he kept on reading. And he felt very awkward. And he just stood up and he just left the place. The daughter, she was so surprised to hear her father's remarks. And he just left and she followed him. And she took his arm and she said, Dad, I love you, but I couldn't say it. And I'm sorry I wasn't meeting any of your expectations, but I will try harder. And the father was so happy. And since then, so she talked about the things that happened in the school. She didn't change at all, but it's just that the view, the perspective of the father toward his daughter was changed. So this way, the daughter was also changed. And when with the perspective, previous perspective, she was a disaster, but she wasn't when the father changed his perspective. And the second is giving thanks, considering the believing in God who is drawing the big picture. And the third is we give thanks for the future things, because the faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. When I read this verse, I always remember Dr. Ko, who was the president, founder of Seoul Women's University. So when you have, she always said, when things were not going well, remember Romans 8:28 and profess your faith. So the trials, the difficulties, eventually, on the surface, it is a hardship, but the actual content is a blessing. So the crisis is a blessing in disguise. So people are mysterious beings. If they make up their mind to give thanks, they begin to realize all the things that they should be thankful for. One of the daily newspapers said, if you write down one or two things to give thanks for every day, within 3 weeks you will be changed. Because God knows everything. That is why God is telling us to give thanks in all things. Rejoice always. Because it's God's will. Because He made us. So He knows when we can have the happiest life. The prescription is that we give thanks. And the only matter, what matters is how much we actually believe His word. So depending on how we react to the difficulties we have, our lives will be changed for completely. There is a person called David Brinkley. He said, God sometimes gives us bricks rather than bread. And some people, they kick the brick with complaining and break one of the toes. And some others, they use this brick to build a house. So what kind of perspective do you have? What kind of view do you have? So that view will change your future. So you believe God will give you good things in the future and give thanks in advance. In the Bible, when there was this miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fish, they had this lunchbox of a young boy. And Jesus gave thanks, not because it was already multiplied, but Jesus gave thanks in advance. And it fed 5,000 men and all women and children, and they had 12 baskets remaining. What about the Apostle Paul? He dedicated his life to preaching the gospel, spreading the gospel. And what kind of life did he live? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we can see what kinds of sufferings and hardships he went through. Dangers of rivers, robbers, thieves, his brothers. He was beaten 40 times minus one, so on and so forth. And due to the sufferings, he didn't say, due to the sufferings, I will stop spreading the gospel. But in the sufferings, he realized, he felt the hands of God, and he took all the sufferings with joy, thankfully, with thanks. So God causes all things to work for good. So He is the judge. So because we look up to this God, in other words, we don't look at the small things with our own perspective, but we look at the big picture with the perspective of God. So we realize God's wisdom. So even though we are in prison, even though we might be suffering from cold, or even though we might be suffering from poverty or hunger, we still give thanks. Finally, Paul was captured and he was sent to Rome. Actually, he had a vision to preach the gospel in Rome. And he probably couldn't think that he was going to go to Rome as a criminal, being a criminal, a captive. But he probably thought when he was being carried to Rome, there were so many soldiers guarding him by the tax. He was paid, all his travel was paid for by the tax money. And the Roman emperor, he didn't think Roman emperor was holding him, but he was guided by the Lord Jesus. And also he was confined in his house in Rome. And there were 4 men guards that guarded Paul all the time. So Paul preached the gospel to them. He preached the gospel to the guards of the emperor. Those who were guarding the emperor, they were the elites of the society. So he preached the gospel to these people. And this gospel, where would it go? He would go to the leaders of the society, the intelligent. So that's what Paul did. Philippians chapter 1 verses 12 to 13 says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." He was looking at the things in the view of God, in the perspective of God. So he knew there was this plan of God. And also we heard the profession of Paul when he was being martyred. So that's the kind of life that Paul lived. And he was giving thanks for the future things. Not because we already have good things, but with the perspective of God, we give thanks for the future things, realizing the providence of God. Let me conclude the message. What kind of God is God? What kind of being is God? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And who is God? He is Almighty. And He knows all the ways that the human beings cannot even begin to fathom. We have only limited knowledge, limited experience, and we think God has to work in this way. Sometimes we limit God with our own knowledge and framework. Let me give you an example. During the Second World War, there was on one of the Pacific Islands, there was this fierce battle between the American soldiers and Japanese soldiers. And one of the American soldiers, he fell out from his unit for many reasons, and he hid himself in a cave. And the Japanese, they were searching the area to find him, actually. And he knew that if the Japanese soldiers came into the cave, he would be killed. So, as he learned in Sunday school, he prayed to God to save him. God, please, he thought, let the main unit, the reinforcement, American reinforcements come quickly. Please save me. But God, he couldn't send the American reinforcement right away. There was this spider was making the cobweb, spider web. So he prayed again. God, I asked for the American reinforcement, and what is this spider? But then, after some time, there was this officer, Japanese officer, passing by and looking into the cave. And he saw this spider webs. And probably he said, looking at this spider web, nobody went into this cave. So we'll go to another place. So we think we want, with our limited perspective, the American soldier, he wanted the American reinforcement to come. But God has so many ways to solve this problem. The only thing that matters is how, to what extent we are right in the sight of God. When the sons of Israel, they were facing the Red Sea, how did God solve this problem? He parted the Red Sea. When the Jordan River was flooding, what did God do? He stopped the flow of the Jordan River. So they crossed it like a dry land, like on a dry land. And when the city of Samaria was surrounded by Arameans, they were suffering from such great famine. So they were even eating their own children. So what did Elisha say? It'll be recovered. And nobody believed him. But God worked through who? Four lepers. So God works in mysterious ways, beyond our limitations, beyond our imaginations. But the important thing is, we know only one way or two, but God has so many ways, thousands of ways. So if we believe Him and commit everything into His hands, then He will be able to solve this problem. He will save us, and He will lead us to victory. So we have to believe in this God. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, let us give thanks for the past, for the present, and for the future. And in any case, let us give thanks and not complain. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God. I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.